Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Now, I'm joined in studio by poet and writer Dermot Bulger. Dermot, you're very, very welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Pleasure to be here, Devon.
Listen, you are here to speak to us about books that transport us to far-flung places. And it really is incredible when a writer can transport us away to, when you're sitting reading a book and they transport you away to somewhere else where you feel as if you're actually there. How do you do it?
It's a fascinating way to do it. I'm thinking one of my novels is The Lonely Sea and Sky by my father's and other sailors who went to Lisbon during the war. I wrote that book with a modern map of Lisbon on my desk, and then a map of Lisbon in 1940 balanced on my son's bicycle, which I keep beside my desk, and gone from one to the other. And it's a great way to travel without having to dress up or go on Ryanair. And you immerse yourself in the little details of a place and make it real. And there's always a small little telling detail that actually makes it real. So it's, you know, every time you sit down to write a novel, if it's in a different country or a different time, you just immerse yourself in all this world and it becomes real to you. And then you sort of forget it to move on to the next book, you know, a bit like being on holidays.
Yeah, but do you need to have been there yourself in order to evoke a place? Because there's nothing worse than when someone says, that isn't there, or that didn't happen, or do you get away with it in fiction in bringing just a location?
You need to be really, really careful that you get the facts right. So help speed. I remember reading one wonderful book about Dublin, and someone gets to the Halfpenny Bridge and they turn towards Euston Station and they wind up down on the docks. And like it was a wonderful written book, but the book was just a story for me. As a Dubliner, yeah, I knew he was going the wrong way, you know. So you really want to get the as much detail exactly right as you can.
As you do that, you're taking us off, first of all, to New York this morning, and it's Brooklyn by Colm Devine.
Yeah, I'm taking it to two places because my grandmother, she died before I was born, in Wexford. On Christmas Day every year, she would have a couple of glasses of sherry and she would talk about the big adventures of her life, and she would say, "The day I went to Enniscorthy." And that was 30 miles away. So from my grandmother, this would be an extraordinary book in capturing the strange metropolis of Enniscorthy and the even stranger metropolis of Brooklyn. And it's a book that I actually love. I think many people love it. It captures New York so well. It captures that journey. Almost all my uncles and aunts had to emigrate from Ireland. Mainly they went to Britain, but many went to America. And that journey of going over, of being anxious to get at Ellis Island, you'd get off the boat, you'd be accepted in, of the sea voyage and sharing cabins and sharing toilets and seasickness and everything else. And then the sheer strangeness of New York and a young woman,
the heat,
finding her way, the heat, and the actual, you know, she gets an Italian boyfriend and she needs, I need to figure out how to eat spaghetti. Her friends in the boarding house are teaching her to eat spaghetti. She needs to get a bathing costume to go to Coney Island, and her boss in work is very, very keen to help her find a bathing costume, and Ailish finds it a little bit disturbing, and then going to the Coney Island and that whole newness of everything. And Colm captured in a very, very understated prose. He never goes for grandiose statements. It's really quiet, really, really steady, and you really, as a reader, I immerse myself. Now, when I went to New York to give a reading some years ago, Colm arrived at my hotel door, my son's, and gave me a copy of Brooklyn that had just been published, and then told us in that way, as if he was an Enniscorthy, this is the diner, this is the good diner, this is the good shop, this is the good thing.
So it was rooted in
there's that sense of him being, I think if you went to anywhere in the world, Colm would turn up and just tell you what all the good things were, you know.
Your next pick, which brings us to France, makes me want to go and actually buy this book, Life Class.
It goes to France and to Flanders as well. And again, it's of two cities because it's set originally in London before the First World War. There's art students in the famous Slade School, and they're drinking in the Café Royal. They're doing Life Class. It's a very, you know, just a nude figure and doing everything else. And then the actual Paul Tarrant, who's a working class artist at the centre of it, he becomes a volunteer for the Belgian Red Cross and he goes to Flanders. He goes to Ypres, as it was called then, and it captures that normality and horror of war. You know, there's doctors flirting with nurses while they're amputating limbs of soldiers, and he begins to paint that horror to the horror of his other students, who actually believe that something shouldn't be written about. She did a trilogy of books called the Regeneration Trilogy, and she used poets and that, you know, Sigurd Sassoon. This is using artists. Ypres is an amazing place. I went there to unveil a monument on the spot where Francis Ledwich was killed with his nephew, and then later on, more recently, to give a speech at his grave on his 100th birthday. And it actually, I have a friend, Pete Sheelans, who runs in the Flanders Field Museum, and every time they build an extension for a house, every time they do a ton, they build anything, they find more bodies, they find more shells. And that war, 100 years old, is still alive, and there's still people dying with unexploded shells. Mm-hmm. And people come there and they see the modern landscape of Ypres, and they see, which is very peaceful, like Mead, you know, the lovely landscape. And then they see in their mind that the horror of that war that lives on there.
Yeah, and of course, many people will have visited that area. And sometimes, Dermot Bulger, when I'm reading a book that has a location that I haven't been to, it makes me want, you know, to go to that place. So how we write and depict those locations in books can be very powerful.
It captures it very, very well. And it's amazing that war affected almost every family in Ireland, in the British Isles, in New Zealand, in Australia, everything else. And so if you're there, every day there's a different commemoration. It might be people from New Zealand, it might be the Chinese. There were loads and loads of Chinese people came there to find work, everything else. So it is this, Churchill wanted it preserved as a monument, and they rebuilt the town brick by brick, but the whole town is a forgery. It's absolutely beautiful, but there was literally only one wall of the Cloth Hall left by the end of the three battles for Ypres. And so it is, if you want to, it's also a beautiful place. It has lovely beer, it has lovely coffee, it has antique sort of cars, everything else. But if you want to capture that sense, you're going out and then suddenly you just come across graveyard, 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 graveyard. And it's an eerie place and a beautiful place.
An eerie and beautiful. Anthony Glavin, Way Out West, it brings us back to the States, but it's an Irish, is it an American, an Irish or an American person?
Anthony Glavin is an American writer who's lived in Ireland for many, many years. Mm. His health wouldn't be great at the moment, and I think I'd be among many, many Irish writers anxious to pay tribute to him for his work as an editor with New Irish Writing, for editing books like Nuala O'Faolain's Are You Somebody, and for his own very fine novels and plays. And in this book, he captures a young, it's funny the sense of home we have. Very often people growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s in Ireland, London almost felt more like home than the hometown because it was immersed in the culture. And Fintan, the central character in this, is from Glen Columbkill in Donegal. And his mother had been in America and came home, as many people did. And he has a mental atlas in his mind of all the places his mother mentions. He goes to the library, he borrows books, maps of America. And when he goes to America, it's almost as if he's going home. And Brooklyn is like the small streets of New York. This is like the wide open prairies of America, the wide open wheat fields, the small towns. And Fintan is like, and he cannot really settle. He's trying to find the ghost of his own mother almost in going.
And capturing all of those amazing locations in the American Midwest.
It's a very quiet book. And Glavin is a very, very quiet writer and really, really good writer. And it's a wonderful book to actually read to get a sense of that wider America. We often think of America's New York in the way we think of that Amsterdam is Holland. And there's a whole other America.
Once you go beyond the East and West Coast.
The great thing with this and with Brooklyn is that there are ways to visit America without having to delete your social media feed.
And people paying tribute to you as well, Dermot Bulger. Rose in Cork says, Dermot Bulger's voice and stories are so real. His novels capture the essence of reality, the good and the bad, says Rose. His poetry is life-affirming and changing. Please thank him for his wonderful work. His joy at other writers' work as he speaks today is his strength. And Rose says, thank you very much to that.
My sir, thanks. And I tell Rose that the cheque is in the post.
The check is in the post, Rose. Your final choice is Trieste, which everyone associates with James Joyce, and it's become something of a pilgrimage for people to go to Trieste. But it is a very distinguished literary city with a very storied history itself.
Yeah, the book I picked is Trieste and the Meaning of Nowhere by Jan Morris, who first visited as a British soldier under the name of James Morris in 1945 when Trieste was built as the main port of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So it's very grandiose, and yet it makes no sense. Because the Austro-Hungarian Empire collapsed after the First World War. It was actually part of the Germans, the Italians had it, the Germans had it. It was a free state. It's now part of Italy, although 70% of Italians don't actually know it's part of Italy. So it's sort of nowhere. It's like a film set almost. And Jan Morris, she written this at the age of 75. It was a wonderful book. She was a great travel writer. And it was actually, it captures the sense
of...
It's a memoir. It says that people that they go to, they feel suspended in unreality. They leave leave it puzzled. And when they arrive home, they remember with a sense of mystery. Mm. So it is a wonderful city. If you feel that you belong nowhere, you will belong in Trieste, because Trieste belongs nowhere. And she captures it so well, so vividly, the whole history and the streets. And it's a wonderful place to... I've been there. It's a wonderful place to visit. And if you can't go there, this is the book that you can visit in your mind.
It's going to break you there. Well, Dermot Bulger, thank you very, very much for transporting us away to several venues there. And just to let our listeners know that your latest book, Hideaway, is in bookshops now. But thank you very, very much for joining us. And we're going to take a quick break.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Email brendan@rte.ie.